This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So, hey guys, welcome back to the channel and another fan-to-fan preview. And this week, what preview we've got, because we've got the high-flying Villains currently in fourth place, chasing a Champions League team, United Emery's team, against what I think is a bit of a bogey team recently, our team, Wolverhampton Wanderers. I'm really delighted to be joined today by my good friend, Seb, the Hulkcast podcast. How are you doing, Seb?
I'm really good. I'm really glad to be back. I'm really glad to see your face again. So thank you for having me and I'm excited to get into it.
Yes, mate. Well, thank you ever so much for joining. First of all, Villa, what a fantastic season as a villain. You must be feeling from how the team's coming since Unai Emery came into Villa. The transformation has been amazing, really. And did you even think that you could be chasing down a Champions League team, a Champions League place at the start of the season?
I personally didn't. I'm known as the pessimist of the group, if you like. So I always tried to downplay my expectations. I sort of like to not get too high with the wins but not get too low with the lows. So at the start of the season, factoring in European football and just all the different things that we had, we didn't have great squad depth at the time. We didn't really sign a striker in case Watkins got injured. So I went into the season going, with European football, I would be very happy with a top eight finish. I think I said if we can get Europe again, that would be, you know, almost where we should be aiming, and that would be my baseline for a successful season. But eighth place as well, you know, it wouldn't be the end of the world considering fatigue and all the extra games that we have to factor in. But sitting here now with not so many games to go, just a few months left in the season, into a European Cup quarterfinal, you know, I never expected it, but I'm certainly enjoying it.
Oh, well, I can imagine you have been, you are enjoying it. And do you think you're going to get that Champions League place? I mean, I think you're 3 points in front of Tottenham. We did a favour for you in fact, we beat Tottenham twice this year. So we've took 6 points off Tottenham. We did a favour for you the other week. You're 3 points clear. They've got a game in hand. It might even go to fifth place. You might still get a Champions League. Are you confident Villa's going to get Champions League next year?
I've never ever spent so much time watching European football and looking at all the different coefficient points that mean that it might go down to fifth or it might stay at fourth. I've been getting my calculator out every Tuesday, Champions League night, and it looks like it might go down to fifth, which will certainly help our cause. Although Manchester United is still in the running, and I am just about old enough to know that Manchester United always seem to do one over Villa, especially in the last minute. I think there's been about six occasions in my lifetime where we've been 2-0 up against them and they've ended up winning 3-2. So it wouldn't surprise me if they came back. You know, it's going to be a massive dogfight till the end of the season. I think if it does go down to fifth place, that will certainly help us massively, especially with that game in hand from Tottenham. But at the same time, you know, games in hand don't mean anything. They went to Fulham and they lost quite convincingly there. So, you know, teams are dropping points around us. We ourselves are also dropping points. at this moment in time.
Yes, exactly.
So, you know, we certainly struggled. The Easter break came at a perfect time for us with the internationals. I'm watching the England game with Watkins and Konsa and praying that both of them just come off the pitch unscathed. Douglas Luiz also entering the pitch at Wembley. So, yeah, the international break came at a really good time for us, and I'm excited to see what we can do in this final stretch.
Fantastic. We're going to come on to more of that in a minute. But, like, let's go look on to Wolves, because at the start of the season, we had the pre-season thoughts. And I think yourself, like many, many others, had Wolves for going down this year. We were in turmoil. The manager had walked out. We couldn't spend any money. Then we appointed Gary O'Neill 3 days before the season. Wolves currently sitting ninth in the Premier League table. Oh, is it fair to say that Wolves and Gary O'Neill are surprised? And what's your take on Wolves' season so far?
Yeah, I think I've got to owe everyone listening, and especially Gary O'Neill, a big apology. I certainly didn't expect it at the start of the season. Perhaps naively, I looked at the mess you're in, because it was very similar to when Villa and Martin O'Neill walked out just a few days before the season, and that sent Villa into turmoil ourselves. So, you know, looking at the comparisons, I think it's quite easy for me to suggest that you'd struggle. But no, he's come in, and it seemed almost effortless from the outside. I mean, the seamless transition that he's made, and, you know, the fact that he's got all the fans on side, just looking at Wolves media at times this season, it looks like a really good place to be and a really good environment to be involved in. And I think Gary O'Neill has a lot to be said for that. I think he's had a lot of impact. He's certainly done a lot better than I expected, but I feel as though his time at Bournemouth was cut short, so not many people really knew what the real Gary O'Neill was about. But he's certainly shown that this season, and, you know, Wolves have been a threat to most teams that they've played this season.
Yeah, we have. And to be fair, mate, there's a lot of Wolves fans, you know, that had us down for going down, and a lot of Wolves fans, you know, the majority of Wolves fans had a big doubt about Gary O'Neill when he was appointed. And of course, it was turmoil in the summer. So the job is done, really. I personally think if you're looking for a manager of the year this year, the three managers that should be in contention for winning it, it ain't Pep, it ain't Klopp. If Rob Edwards keeps looting up, he's one. Unai Emery is another one for the job he's done at Villa. And I think Gary O'Neill as well. I mean, it's not just about winning Premier League titles when you've got millions and millions of pounds to spend. Unai Emery's come in and turned Villa's fortunes. I know he's been backed a little bit. Rob Edwards has had next to nothing with Luton, really, and what he's done. And then, of course, Gary O'Neill, the job he's done with Wolves, really, has been, like you're saying, bringing the team together, getting them playing, getting the best out of that team, and also bringing the fans back on side has been a fantastic job. And I think both Wolves and Villa, from the fan bases, are in a, you know, compared to, you know, recent times, are in a much more positive place, would you say?
Yes, certainly. It's quite difficult because you always go through stages in the season where you have a little blip. Villa had one at the beginning of January, and we've also just had one recently. Unai Emery makes a big thing about not making excuses, so I am going to adopt the same sort of philosophy in the fact that I don't want to sit here and blame injuries for that. So Wolves themselves have been absolutely struck by injuries, especially in the forward line.
Tell me about it.
Yes, exactly.
Still not quite over that.
No, yes, I've seen, certainly. But yeah, the fact that, you know, we dropped a few points perhaps where we shouldn't, but we've also gained a few points where we didn't expect to. So, you know, all in all, I don't think anyone's ever going to be perfectly happy. You know, fan bases are that big nowadays that someone's always going to pick something up, especially off the field with Villa at the moment. There seems to be a lot of controversy surrounding that. But on the pitch, you know, for me personally, I couldn't be happier. And we've got this final stretch now to really solidify what would be a historic season for us.
Fantastic. Just touching on what you mentioned there, the off the field. What for Wolves fans listening, what do you mean by the off the field issues that you've got? What do you mean by that?
So we're having a bit of controversy at the moment. Obviously, Chris Heck, our new CEO, is coming in, and there are a lot of things that fans, match-going fans, don't necessarily agree with. One of them is the Lower Grounds, which is a new pub that has opened up inside Villa Park. It used to be a free pub for season ticket holders, but now you are charged, I think it's about £60 a ticket for entrance into the pub. That will also get you a match ticket. Additionally, with this, we've got the Terrace View, which is a similar sort of philosophy. Just a lot of ways that match-going fans feel that they are being priced out in terms of allowing corporate in, and it gets a lot of boos. You'll probably, if you go to the match, you'll hear it mentioned at halftime, and most of the stadium will be booing it. So there are a lot of decisions that we personally don't agree with, but at the same time, there are a lot of things going on off the pitch that are very good, with our new Adidas deal announced for next season, and we've also doubled our front of the shirt betting sponsor for next season. Now, I don't agree with a betting sponsor, but to be able to double our income, I think we signed a £40 million deal over 2 years until the betting ban obviously comes in 2026. So, you know, you've got to weigh up, as much as I want to talk about the negatives, you've got to look at the positives that Villa are doing off the pitch as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And they've come in, you know, the owners, you've got your where you are and stuff like that. It's interesting that you should talk about the cost of things. What is a standard season ticket cost at Villa Park? I think you're a student. Do you get a student discount, or does it not work like that?
Don't believe I do. I can't remember. Season tickets going to be announced soon, so I'll have to check. I don't think I do get a student. So I sit in the top of the Holt, so maybe my prices can't be compared to the rest of the ground, but I think I paid near enough £900 for mine this season. Now, it's some people might say, well, it's quite similar, but the problem is with Villa is we've had an increase, I think it's 3 or 4 years in a row now. And some people who sit near me have experienced nearly a 200% increase in the last 3 years. So it's not necessarily the price, but the way in which it's going up and the way in which it doesn't look as though it's going to be stopping anytime soon certainly has people worried for their season ticket, but also very angry as well.
So, because like from the outside, there's a few Wolves fans that will say, oh yeah, Villa got American owners, they've got ambition. You know, that, I mean, what's the background of your own owners? You know, what who are they and what's their background?
I can't talk highly enough about Nassef Sawiris and Wes Seasons. I think most Wolves fans will remember when Villa was stuck in the Championship and we were just a few days away from liquidation. And then suddenly these new owners come in, they form a group, and they have done nothing but save our club. And I don't think that's putting it lightly either. The way in which they have invested into the club, into the infrastructure, they want to massively improve Villa Park. They want to massively improve the areas surrounding Villa Park. So what they've done for the community as well since they've come in. Obviously, CEOs are different, but the owners, you know, I can't talk highly enough about them. They're consistently keeping up with their ambitions for the club. What they say is true, and they're matching their words with their ideas and their philosophies. And yeah, for the owners, this looks a massively promising time to be involved in Aston Villa at the moment.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So do you think this is why you're, the cost of things are going up so much? Is because they're saying they're going to do all this stuff, but like the fans are having to pay more to get that in? And is that a balancing act that the fans are happy with? Or, you know, they feel that, you know, you get enough money from TV revenues and stuff? Because like you say, someone's had a 200% increase on their season ticket in 3 years. That's a lot. And you had a free pub and you're having to go in. And it's like, is that a fair balancing act? Do you take the extra money, the cost, if they're investing? Or is it, you know, where do you sit on that?
There's a fine line, I believe, between, you know, overstepping the mark and, you know, raising to compete. We've seen it with Everton. We've seen it with Forest, that you just have to be able to create revenue wherever you can to be able to, you know, make that extra step up the Football League. I think because things are going so well for us on the pitch, it's justified at the moment in certain aspects. It's difficult because you never really know what's coming from the owners and what's coming from our CEO. So it's difficult to be the ultimate judge, and I'm not going to sit here and know and claim that I know all the ins and outs. Excuse me. But there's certainly unrest. You know, people are unhappy. People are going to be unhappy. But at the same time,
winning games and having success is kind of means, yeah, people are happy. But if you didn't, then that kind of would come to the fore. The reason I ask about this, because there's certain sections of the Wolves fan base that have got issues with, like, our owners, Fosun, you know, on investing in the stadium and in the infrastructure and that type of thing. And obviously Wolves have had to really curtail their spending with regards to profit and sustainability, you know, FFP. And from my understanding, we're sort of through the worst of that storm. Obviously, you've seen Everton, you know, Forest. But there is a little bit, from what I understand, that's coming down the line for Villa this season in the summer. The likes of Villa and Newcastle are all going to be sailing very close to the wind with FFP. Obviously, that £100 million for Grealish that you got 3 or 4 years ago is dropping off. I mean, from a Villa point of view, is that something that you're concerned about in this summer, in terms of you might have to sell some players, depending on, you know, what happens?
No, I'm not overly concerned about it. And I think the reason for that is I believe that we wouldn't have gone out and spent 15 to 20 million on Morgan Rogers in January if we were struggling as badly as the press say. There's ultimately no smoke without fire. So I think there's been a lot of talk that perhaps one of our key players might be out the door, and that could then free up us to spend within our means again in summer. But I certainly don't think we'll be in a position where we have to sell. Our CEO, Chris Heck, came out and said that if any of the big boys in the Premier League want to sign our players, then, you know, we're not going to hand them over and we're not going to be selling them to them. So I don't think we're under pressure, and I don't think clubs will be looking at us thinking Villa are in a fragile position. Obviously, the press run a lot of stories, some of which I doubt are completely true. It will be interesting to see. I wouldn't be surprised if one of our better players walks out the door. Obviously, going back to your first point you made, it depends on whether we qualify for Champions League or whether we just fall out and hit Europa League instead. Obviously, depends on how we get on with our European campaign this season. So there's still a long way to go, and I think things could definitely still change. But going back to your original point, am I worried or am I concerned? No, I'm not.
Well, thank you for your honesty. I think that would be one definitely for all of us to watch. We know what we went through last year, and it was tough. But the fact that if you do get Champions League football, there's extra revenue coming in from that. You know, your sponsorship deal, you're doubling, so there's money. Also, your position in the table, you get money for that as well. Obviously, the higher up you finish. Be interesting one to sort of keep an eye on for Villa this year. Obviously, I think the manager of Newcastle's already came out and said that they're probably going to have to. And look at the money that Newcastle got, because it's not about how much money you've got in the bank as an owner. It's all you have to sort of like work within this FFP sort of situation. So it'd be interesting to see how that goes. What can Wolves expect, and how are Villa going to line up in terms of formation, and what's been the strengths for Villa this year, and what would you say your weakness is?
It's difficult because with our injuries, I'm not sure who's going to be back fit and who's not. But if I had to take a wild guess, I think we'll line up in the 4-4-2 formation. Yeah. In terms of weaknesses, I always get really worried with the opposition's wingers because we play so high up, and because our fullbacks come so narrow and are able to push up. If you can get in behind down the flanks and then put a cross into the box, then that will certainly be an aspect for you. Another one is defending set pieces at the moment seems to be alien for Villa. Our set piece coach.
You haven't got the best set piece record. Sorry? In terms of you've conceded, I think the third most goals from set pieces or something like that. You've conceded.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I'm surprised that it's not higher, to be honest. In terms of attacking set pieces, you know, our set piece coach seems to do really well. But when it comes to defending the box from a corner or from a free kick, we look alien. So that could be a potential cause for concern for us against you.
Absolutely. And what are you worried about with Wolves in terms of like facing off any players that stick out? Have you got any concerns, or are you feeling pretty confident ahead of this one?
I'm not sure whether confidence is the right word. I think you mentioned yourself that you are a bit of a bogey team for us. I don't go into any Villa game confident.
I think the last six. Don't you think you've beaten us?
Yeah, I think that sounds about right. Yeah, Jose Sarr seems to always play really well against us. He's one that sticks out from the return leg at the Molineux. He had a really good game that day. I must admit, I haven't watched too much of Wolves recently, so you'll have to update me with your injury list. But, you know, Wolves have players that can hurt any team, none other than us. So, you know, to sit here and say that I'd be really confident or that I'm not worried about your threats, I think, again, would be naive from me. So I think I've learnt my lesson from earlier on in the season, and yeah, there's certainly potential to do damage. I think if you can exploit Villa's weaknesses, which have shown in recent weeks, then it could be a end-to-end game.
Yeah, I mean, I think from Villa's point of view, like obviously it's been a good old little battle over recent seasons with both the Baggies and Birmingham kind of like in the Championship, and Wolves and Villa games have taken a little bit more significance. And, you know, Wolves have done really well. I mean, even when you were beating us 2-0 on 82 minutes two or three years ago, we somehow managed to win that game, and we were absolutely awful. And we got out of Villa Park, I think, last time with a draw. I think, was it Bailey that missed a real opportunity towards the end, I think. I don't know how we keep getting away with these results against Villa, to be honest. Even when you're like totally on top form, we seem to get results. However, you are going to be facing a team, Wolves, which have got a lot of our firepower that are out. Pedro Neto, massive threat, out. Wang Hee-chan, massive threat, out. Bellegarde's out, I think. Kuna might be back in, potentially. Which would be good for Wolves, Pablo Sarabias. But like our real main threat, Pedro Neto and Wang Hee-chan are definitely going to be out, and Kuna might be back in, but he's been out for a while, so he's coming back, might be back in for his first game. We'll have to wait and see on what happens with the press conference later in the week. So it's going to be really interesting. Dawson, our main central defender, has also been out injured with the groin, so it'll be interesting to see whether he's come back. And we suffered against Coventry in the quarter final because they could play an extra 10 to 15 yards further up the pitch because we had no pace to hurt them behind. And we somehow nearly managed to win that game, and then we were all over the place and managed to lose it. So I don't know. It's going to be a tough ask to go to Villa Park when you're having such a great season with a lot of our main players out. If I was to ask you for a score prediction right now, what's your heart telling you or your head, whichever?
I hate score predictions so much. I prefer it when I'm the one hosting the podcast and I get to ask. But I believe that Villa will win. I think that the break will have done us a lot of good. And like you said, the players that you are missing are of a massive influence to you. I think it'll be a very, very close game. I think it could be a tight game. It wouldn't surprise me whether the game is settled by either a moment of magic or a mistake. Perhaps maybe even late on. Hopefully not to the degree of the 3-2 a few years ago, because that still is very painful for me. I will go with a very tightly contested 2-1.
2-1? That'd be interesting. 2-1. To be honest, Villa have got a great home record this season as well, haven't you? You're going good. You've had the break. But it's still Wolves, and we have a good record, so it's interesting that you say 2-1. I'll have to wait for my score prediction a little bit later.
Oh, you're killing me, Dave.
Yeah, no, you have to wait for my preview. I have to keep people waiting for my official preview on Thursday, so you'll have to watch that because I need to think about it a little bit more. You see, but in terms of results, obviously, I'm hoping that we can win. Because we always hope we could win, but a draw wouldn't be a bad result for Wolves in the circumstances, and to keep that run going. So, in terms of like where you're going to end up this season and where you think Wolves will end up finishing this season, what do you think the outcome will be of the season for you? Where do you think you'll finish? And do you think you'll win the Europa League? And where do you think Wolves will finish now after you predicted us to be relegated?
You really enjoy making me put my neck on the line, don't you, Dave?
Everyone predicted us to get
me. Yeah. I believe that Villa will finish in the Champions League. I'm not going to be as bold to say whether that will be fourth or fifth. Hopefully, for the sake of my heart rate for the last few weekends of the season, it will be fourth. But I'm unsure. In terms of the Conference League, we've got the hardest path. So if we are to get through it, then I think we'd definitely deserve it. Playing Ajax and then Lille and then having a semi-final of either Olympiakos or Fenerbahce awaiting us on our route to the final in Athens. It's no easy feat. I would like to think, for the sake of a fairy tale ending, that we will get over the line, but it would be typical Villa fashion to not do so and find a way to mess it up. You know, they are great teams, and obviously our injuries are mounting up at the moment, and especially our performances. You saw the last few weeks that Thursday-Sunday schedule is becoming slightly tricky for us. And then moving over to Wolves, I believe that you will probably finish in that eighth position, I imagine. I don't believe you will get seventh. I believe you might just be pipped. Because I think there's Fulham and Chelsea behind you now, if I'm not mistaken.
Chelsea, Brighton and Newcastle.
Have I got that one right?
And Newcastle as well. So it's if we got eighth, that would be an incredible achievement. Yes. That would be incredible, to be honest.
Yeah, I believe that Fulham and Chelsea would stay behind you. I think they are too inconsistent. I wouldn't be surprised if Newcastle go on a bit of a run. And then Brighton, now that they're out of the Europa League, will have a lot more focus on the Premier League, especially now that you know, those European places could potentially go down to eighth. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But there is certainly a lot of room for head for changes.
Absolutely, mate. Well, listen, it's been an absolute pleasure you joining us, mate. How can people find you and your podcast?
Yes. So if you go onto Twitter, we are on Twitter at Holtcast. I will get pats on the back for remembering that because we have just had a big rebrand. So we are now on Twitter as at Holtcast. If you want to find me personally on Twitter, it is at SebastianBacon8. And on Spotify, iTunes and all that, it is also on the Holtcast, Holtcast.
Fantastic, mate. Listen, thanks for taking time out your day to come and talk to us about this. Villa had a fantastic season. I can't wish you all the best, obviously, for the weekend. I hope we get something out of it. My bump into you there. I definitely will be there as well, mate. But, you know, you are having a fantastic season and I do appreciate your time today. All the best, pal.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates are already booked in for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.